Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I had a guest lined up. We had it all figured out, but it fell through right here at the last second. So I'm recording late on Tuesday night. This is going to release probably as soon as I'm done editing it and stuff. Today's show is pretty straightforward. There was quite a bit of news today made by Jared Dudley. And we got some clarity apparently on how the NBA is going to proceed with what we thought was a bubble idea. It is not a bubble idea. Either I or they didn't know what a bubble was. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to present the case for this idea or for returning under these circumstances, and then I'm going to make the case against it, right? That's, I think, given today's information, a little easier case to make. And then finally, at the end of it, I'm going to try to combine that information and offer you my own opinion on it. You guys can make up your own opinion based on what I offer you in the first two segments on your own, and we can kind of discuss that whenever you want. But let's start with the reason to go forward like this, and I'll first kind of premise this and contextualize this with, you know, what we heard from Jared Dudley, right? So Dudley was apparently on a conference call with a few reporters. Tanya Ganguly was the person that kind of offered up some of what he had to say, but you know, the highlight of it was the following. So this is from, again, at Tanya Ganguly. On a video call with at Jared Dudley 619 right now, he says there's a misconception of the bubble concept when the season restarts. Players won't be confined by league orders, he says, but it'll be made clear that if you go somewhere and catch COVID-19, you won't be able to play. Wow. but I'll, again, like I said, I'll start with the reasons why they might be thinking this way. He did continue. Dudley says he anticipates some players will have their families with them in what will probably be Orlando, but not initially. He added that Giannis Antetokounmpo voiced concern about being away from his family since he has a newborn. So let's start, like I said, with why I think they are willing to put this much risk out there. And the greater the reward, the more willing people are going to be to take risks. And in this case, there are billions of dollars at stake. And if the league, you know, approached the players with the what we thought was the bubble idea, where everybody would just kind of be walled off, in this case, Walt Disney World, then and the players pushed back and said, well, wait a second, we're used to a certain amount of freedom, not just, you know, in the given the country that we live in, but also the lifestyle that we usually enjoy. We aren't okay with that. We aren't okay with not being able to, you know, and I don't mean to sound crass or whatever, but they get to have their fun generally, and quite a bit of it, I would imagine, with the opposite sex. And so, you know, I would imagine there were a lot of guys saying, so wait, I have to go a month, couple months, a few months even without that. I don't think I'm very open to that. I'm not willing to make that sacrifice. And the league said, okay, well, if that's the way that you feel about this, then that probably means we're going to have to up the testing, which, you know, I also found it interesting that today we also got some news regarding the type of testing the NBA might be putting their players and personnel through. Kevin O'Connor said that they are going to be a part of a study with the Mayo Clinic in which they send about 400 people in there to test for antibodies and go through that antibody test. There's also a test where they kind of prick the finger and draw blood that way versus having to stick a needle all the way into a vein. There are multiple ways that they're trying to go through and improve the testing situation, I would imagine, in part because of the increased risk that is involved with, or that comes with players going out into the public as they see fit. So the reason for this is pretty straightforward. They think it's worth it. They think that not just the inherent risk of playing during a global pandemic, but also playing during a global pandemic and having to make the sacrifice of being stuck just kind of by yourself or with your teammates in Walt Disney World, which, by the way, wouldn't be that bad. They have restaurants. They have, obviously, like the Lopez brothers would probably have to be, you know, torn away from Walt Disney World if they got that kind of access to the park. But in general, there are worse places to have to be holed up. And so, you know, they just kind of figure it's worth it, not just to play in Walt Disney World and try to get the league back up and running in that way, but also offer the players some of the freedoms that they enjoyed back before COVID-19. I'm going to take a quick break, pay a couple bills, and when we come back, we are going to talk about why I don't think this is the best idea, or the at least the reasons why this might not be the best idea. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, save $10 off that first order, and then go and tell your friends. Tell your friends about it. I talked yesterday about all the flavors that they have. There is not a flavor on there that I don't like. And more importantly, there is not a flavor on there that doesn't taste the way that it's advertised. There is nothing worse than biting into a protein bar that sounds good, or just food in general, that like you read on the menu and it sounds good, and then you bite into it and it isn't what you envision and it tastes like crap. That is never going to happen to you with Built Bar. The other thing too, I have been doing a lot more driving lately because, you know, and hopefully a lot more people are going to have to be doing, you know, the same thing for the same reasons as hopefully things kind of turn around here. When you're sitting in traffic or when you're running late or whatever, you don't have time to put together a meal. Built Bar, it has you covered for a long time. It is very filling. It feels, and not like the kind of fake filling that you can sometimes get from some crappy ingredients. Built Bar's ingredients hold you over. They feel like you ate, you know, a decent breakfast, a decent weekday breakfast, and you're good to go until you eventually have to get to lunch. So again, head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, save $10 off that first order. One more time, builtbar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. So let's start with why this kind of knocked me off my seat, basically. The quotes from Jared Dudley, or the statements from Jared Dudley today. And you know, it might be that by the time you guys are listening tomorrow, the NBA sends out some kind of, either they leak some more of their plans to clarify some of Jared Dudley's statements, or, you know, because like he's not, I don't believe he's particularly high up in the players' union to where he would be given the ability to make these kind of statements. I would imagine the NBA would prefer that details like this get leaked on their own terms, right? That's just me. I mean, it's common sense, but I'm thinking as a former PR person here. The other thing that to keep in mind here is, you know, if the NBA does release, you know, a statement or a leak to Shams and Woj, as they have for most of the things that they've been talking about so far, you know, it's you guys are more than welcome to call me overreactive or whatever whenever I offer up the case against, you know, operating in this way. So let's go ahead and dive into the concerns here, or at least the potential concerns. And for one thing, like under previous under the previous understanding of the way the NBA was going to operate, the bubble itself was already risky, right? You still are going to have hundreds of team employees all in the same place. And while every risk, you know, is going to be as mitigated as it can be, there is going to still be risk involved there. That was going to be the best case scenario, I think, to approaching coming back. Under these circumstances, right, where there is no bubble, or I just have no idea what the hell a bubble is, anytime you open this essentially quarantined group of people to the public, like that's how the coronavirus now comes back and spreads like wildfire. If they happen to get, you know, a false positive in one of the tests from the players that went out there, like I'm interested. I would imagine, you know, even if they don't come out and refute the stuff that Jared Dudley was saying, I would imagine we're going to get some more details on the policy for handling players when they come back into the quote unquote bubble from, you know, after spending time out in public, right? Are they going to be, you know, isolated for a week or until they get multiple tests back that show that they don't have this thing? Hopefully by the time we get into July, maybe enough progress will be made to where, maybe those athletes that go out there or that are allowed to go out into the public, well, by that time, maybe they'll have taken the antibody test and it's there's no risk in them going out there into the public because they can no longer carry the coronavirus. Whatever the policy might be, I'm sure we're going to get something. We're going to hear something on that front. But as of right now, I don't see how this is, you know, the smartest way to carry forward here. You have, you know, look, this is how things went poorly in nursing homes, where people are confined to a certain area. And now, granted, you know, NBA players are going to be allowed to go outside, right, in this quote-unquote bubble. Team personnel, they're going to be allowed to go outside. They have golf courses, right? They have pools. They have any number of things to keep people, make it feel like they aren't just kind of holed up in a hotel. But there are ways to make it safer for at least the people who are all going to be kept together in this thing, just naturally, right? The amount of testing they're going to do and maybe some outdoor activities to make sure that the sun can kind of do its work on the germs that find their way to, you know, clothing or the skin or what have you. If they're taking all those precautions and they are, you know, still completely isolated, but that coronavirus does reintroduce itself to a selection of these teams, you know, via a false positive or you know, somebody just kind of slipping through the cracks like that, and then somebody is carrying this thing, you can transfer the virus while you're asymptomatic. And so if you're asymptomatic, you have no idea that you have this thing, and you go out and you interact with one of your older coaches, well, that now puts them at the exact risk that got a lot of the nursing homes in trouble. And, you know, and for some of the older personnel in the NBA, like for me, Bill Burka comes to mind. Like I can't imagine a scenario here where it's safe or smart to send Bill Burka into this thing, especially now knowing what the NBA considers a bubble. And so if everybody else is treating it like a quarantine and you have people going in and out of that quarantine and potentially bringing this thing back into the quarantine, and you have people, you know, isolating themselves or you have people who are further at risk, then introducing the amount of variables that come with sending somebody out or allowing somebody to go out into the public and then come back, like it just doesn't seem worth the risk to me. I don't know how the NBA recovers if, say, Greg Popovich comes down with this thing. He's one of the faces of the league, and if he, you know, puts himself at this risk, you know, in part for our entertainment, and then the NBA, because they didn't put their foot down enough with the people who want to go back out into the public, and then somebody brings coronavirus back into this quote-unquote bubble, and Greg Popovich comes down with it, or and I'm just using Popovich as an example, right, because he's one of the faces of the league, but if anybody dies on the NBA's watch from this thing, I don't know how the NBA recovers, because this would be them willingly, knowingly, you know, while understanding the severity of the situation, putting everybody at further risk. It's one thing to put people at risk under the best of circumstances while taking every precaution that you possibly can. But it's another thing altogether to now say, well, all those precautions, we think we'll try to manage them as they kind of present themselves to us. That's insane to me. That's crazy. Let's take another quick second. When we come back, I'm going to try to combine all the information that we have and also, you know, take into account the information we are still yet to receive and, you know, try to figure out if the NBA is still on the right track. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Blinkist. Let me tell you about one of the life's ultimate life hacks. It's hard to find time to sit down and read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There is, however, an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is a really unique app, and it works on your phone, tablet, web browser, whatever. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes you can read or listen to. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading all kinds of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with this audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, lunch break, or whenever. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now. It has a massive and growing library from self-help to business to health to history books. Whatever you're looking for, they got it. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but never had time to. I like Blinkist because in less than 15 minutes, I feel like I can fast track my path to a more intelligent or informed or healthy me. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And also, you'll save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. I'll just be honest. When I first saw the tweets from Tanya Ganguly, and I believe Kyle Goon also had some tweets out there on this, Mike Trudell also tweeted out some stuff from this conference call. When I saw all this stuff, I basically said, it's not worth it. This is continuing with the NBA. If this is what they have in mind, it is not worth it. And I still kind of lean that way. I have softened on it, though. And I think there are a few things that are worth kind of pointing out. For one thing, the NBA, according to all reports, all sources, is probably not going to be ready to resume playing until like July 1st, I believe was the date. So hopefully by then they'll have some more results from this study, this test study that the Mayo Clinic is running and that the NBA is taking part in. And if we find out that antibody test is legitimate, then, you know, maybe by that point, it'll be safer for people to, you know, for the players and team personnel and whoever else is involved in this thing to be able to go out into the public, come back, get tested, and then resume their team-oriented activities. The other thing to keep in mind here is, again, like, while I greatly appreciate how forthcoming Jared Dudley has been throughout all of this, I think he's one of the people who have acquitted themselves the best throughout this entire situation. While I appreciate, like I said, what him offering this stuff up so that I could talk about it, I do think the NBA is probably going to send something out that gets their feet back under them, just from a PR standpoint, right? From a messaging standpoint. Whenever that happens, not if and when, but whenever that happens, we'll have a better understanding of what all, you know, he means by this, what they meant by, you know, so with the initial leaks on what the plan was and all of that. The other thing, too, to keep in mind is just how big Walt Disney World is and how many things that can be done that might kind of allow those players, you know, that lowers some of the temptation to go back out in public. Then, you know, also for a lot of these teams, especially, you know, depending on what the NBA does here, right? So if they say only playoff teams are going to resume, that, you know, lowers the risk in and of itself, right? Because somebody on, you know, say the Charlotte Hornets, or, you know, some bottom, the Golden State Warriors, somebody playing on that team who, you know, might not be that interested or care that much about, say, like the Lakers playoff race or pursuit of a title, they are going to be the ones most tempted to go out there, because who gives a crap? I just, you know, I want to be able to go out there and have my fun. Florida is one of the states that has been open the most quickly, so you have possibly more things available to you. You know, if though, you know, like the Warriors or the teams that aren't in the playoff picture aren't told to go, then, you know, that makes a lot of this easier. We just need more information on this for me to be able to say that this is or is not, you know, the right direction that the NBA is taking. As we currently understand it, it's an insanely stupid proposition. Right, it's just really, really dumb to open yourself up to all of the variables that come with players going out there in public. But we also have to understand that we're probably going to get more information. We are going to get more information. Whenever we get that more of that information, you know, it might just be that the NBA, conversing with their experts and in working with epidemiologists in the way that they say they have. It might just be that they say, actually, we have a better understanding of this, and the risk isn't as pervasive or as prevalent as you guys might think. So maybe that's where we head, to where the NBA statement on this is, yeah, Jared basically had it right, and we are going to continue to take as many of the precautions as we possibly can. In which case, I'll say it's a really dumb idea. unless the amount of testing that they're talking about goes up significantly, I think it's a really dumb way to move forward with this. And, you know, the other thing here, like, the NBA can't control all of its players, especially in this era where you have a lot of players lining themselves up for media careers after their playing career is over. There is no way to police every single player and make sure that everybody is on point with the messaging, you know, from the NBA and in how they're handling this. So in that regard, there isn't much the NBA could have done to kind of get out ahead of this, other than, you know, throughout this, which they have, you know, reportedly done, maintaining a proper amount of communication, so that if and when a player does take an interview or whatever, they are in a good enough spot to be able to speak as, you know, educated on the subject as they possibly can. But in this case, you know, because these statements and because this plan is so far out there from what we may have thought to this point, and hell, it might be on us for just taking something for granted on what they were actually thinking about doing here. That's altogether possible too. But for this to be so far from what we thought they were going to resume their league-wide activity, for this to be so far out of left field, it makes me feel like at some point we're going to get some more clarity here from the NBA. So in the moment, I freaked out. And given what we know right now, I'm freaking out about how dumb this appears to be. But I also understand that this is one of the smarter leagues out there, and I can't imagine they're going to put everybody at unnecessary risk, right? That's the thing that bothers me about this, is that this feels very unnecessary. This is taking a risk for very unnecessary reasons. For those players who want to be able to get with whoever at the way that they have over the course of their NBA careers, maybe, you know, figure out a way to take a month off or whatever. I just feel like that's a sacrifice that, you know, for the sake of yourself and the public and the NBA, that would be worth it to take. But, you know, I'm also saying this as a 33-year-old married man with a kid, right? So I've been through more experience, and it allows me to be able to speak on what I consider a more mature decision. But back when I was 23, 21, I thought with a different head. And, you know, in those cases, well, I mean, I was still with Jen at that time, but, you know, I still was much more of an idiot than I am right now, even though I'm still a pretty big idiot at this point. I was, you know, a lot less mature. And if I was an NBA player with the resources that NBA players have, I would, you know, maybe make a couple dumb decisions here. But, you know, they have to hope that their players, not just the younger ones, but the veterans, also hold everybody accountable here to make sure everybody's on the same page and saying, no, we really, it's really not worth it. And, you know, it's kind of ironic. I'll finish with this, but, you know, Pete and I spent a lot of time kind of laughing about that TV show, Too Hot to Handle. And it was kind of funny to watch these kids that are about the same age as the NBA players that we're watching in this instance as well, sit there and say, all right, in Too Hot to Handle, you had people literally doing the math of, is it worth the $3,000 to make out with this girl? And then you had the other people who were held accountable for those people's mistakes saying, hey guys, maybe don't cost me a bunch of money, right? Maybe don't do that, because I don't want to have to pay up for your fun, right? And so, you know, in this case, I would imagine there are going to be a lot of NBA players who tell those guys that are on their team that maybe are a little bit more at risk of going out into the public and doing something dumb. Hey guys, if you do this, like if somebody is on the Lakers and LeBron James, I would imagine, is going to have a talk with all of the teammates and say, hey guys, this is what's at risk for me. And if you go out and you do something dumb that costs me everything that I have on the table right now, I am ruining not just your career right now, but your career after basketball. You know, I have the platform to be able to do that. Maybe through that kind of peer pressure, we get to a point where some of that risk of immaturity is kind of mitigated against. But, you know, if somebody slips up and we don't get more information, or there just aren't the protocols in place to deal with anybody slipping up, that's where I start to get a little, more than very, very nervous about the way that the NBA might be approaching this. We can't reach the fuck it point. That's what I'm saying, is even while I would love for the NBA to come back, I am desperate to talk about basketball that I haven't yet seen. I would love, you know, I have to be completely honest here. This is one of the things that just ethically I have to mention. I and a lot of people in sports media have taken financial losses over this time. And so for a lot of people, when they say, oh, just come back, that might be part of where they're coming from. I'm still, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have Jen to be able to help financially, and the network was in a good enough spot heading into this where we've been able to kind of roll with the punches here. But from where I'm sitting, it just, even given what we stand to gain, I just don't know that it's worth the risk of approaching things like this, given what we know. You know, I just don't think it's worth it to not have a bubble around the people who are going out there and playing, you know, so long as this is the protocol that we understand. We're getting more information. I would imagine we're going to get it relatively soon. But as of right now, these protocols make me very, very nervous. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete will be back tomorrow, and we will, you know, kind of get back to whatever else is kind of going on whenever the NBA releases more information on this front. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off your first order. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you.